If you haven't been to a Friday Gallery Talk before, they are every Friday in the museum. They're brief talks about either specific artworks or a group of artworks. They are pretty much a chance to informally discuss works. They're also a chance for us to invite kind of a myriad of presenters from different fields, not only just art history or artists or curators, but also sometimes outside of the institution, like scientists, writers, philosophers, to talk about art and to give a sense of point of view about the works, so that we can see works from many different points of view. So thank you very much for coming. Today we have a great guest who is actually the co-curator of this exhibit, the Wolfgang Tillmans exhibit. His name is Russell Ferguson. He's the chair of the Department of Art at UCLA. He was formerly chief curator and deputy director of exhibitions and programs at the Hammer Museum at UCLA, and that's where this exhibit, that's where he co-curated this exhibit. At the Hammer, his exhibitions included The Undiscovered Country, which dealt with representational painting, as well as solo exhibits with Catherine Sullivan and Christian Marclay. And he's a co-curator for Wolfgang Tillmans exhibit, which you've said twice or three times. And is currently working on an exhibition of the work of Francis Elise, which will open at the Hammer in September. So I believe what we decided was that he was going to speak about this room, or some works in this room, and that he would answer your questions afterwards, as opposed to what not. That's okay.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. I'm Russell Ferguson, and I co-organized this exhibition. It's obviously a very large exhibition, and I chose to speak in the last room, so you had a kind of quick flash view of the whole exhibition on the way down here. Obviously, I encourage you to spend as much time as you can afford in the exhibition, because there are more than 300 photographs in the exhibition, and I think it rewards a fairly lengthy period of spending time with it. I say I'm the curator of the exhibition. I think probably this has been the most hands-off curatorial experience that I've ever had with an artist, and in part that's because with Wolfgang Tillmans, when you take the initial leap of faith, that you are kind of turning over the exhibition to him in a way. He spent 2 weeks with two assistants here in the galleries, as he does at every exhibition, and the installation of the works themselves are really as much a part of the work as any individual photograph is. He thinks of the entire exhibition as a work, an entity in its own right that you experience as a whole, but I think it's okay to speak just in this room in such a short talk, because each room is also a composition in its own way, just as there might be a composition within a photograph. The assemblage of these works in this room is also a composition, and you can think about this room as an entity in its own right. Wolfgang Tillmans is primarily known as a photographer, though there is one video in the exhibition that he has made as well. He thinks of, like many people who work in photography, artists of his generation, he's not yet quite 40, that he thinks of himself as an artist first and a photographer second, even though he's someone who works in photography all the time. He has that broad view of what he's doing. And what I thought I'd do in this gallery would really be to, there are a number of different kinds of works in this gallery, and I thought that might be a good way of just indicating some of the elements that go towards making up Wolfgang Tillmans' work. And every theme that I touch on here, I think you see amplified or echoed elsewhere in the exhibition as you walk back through it. But I thought an interesting place to begin might be this. This is the Apollo 11 re-entry capsule, which is on display at the Air and Space Museum, right next door to the Hirshhorn Museum. And it's an interesting place to start, I think, for a couple of reasons, or maybe more. One is that it's right here in Washington, right here in this city, and every time he installs an exhibition on his work. Tillemans is trying to find different little ways, sometimes small, sometimes large, of making a connection to the community of people that live in that city. So you see one or two photographs that he took on earlier visits to Washington scattered throughout the exhibition, including a small snapshot-sized Washington monument, which is earlier in the exhibition. But it also has a kind of biographical or autobiographical resonance for Wolfgang Tillemans. As a young boy, his interest was not at first in photography, it was in astronomy and the exploration of outer space. And that's an interest that he has maintained actually throughout his life. So, of course, on coming to Washington, the Air and Space Museum was a priority stop for him. And you see also in this rather more ethereal work on directly opposite there, the transit of Venus, that he has continued to remain interested in astronomy and the universe in that big, expansive way. And he travels to take photographs of eclipses and phenomenon like that, which he remains extremely interested in. And it was really through working with a telescope that his parents got him that was his introduction to the work of lens-based work. And I think there's a direct connection between his activity as a boy, looking through the telescope and seeing everything framed by the lens of the telescope, that does in fact lead directly into his work as a photographer. Another thing, of course, that I think is worth pointing out about this is that you might not even have recognized it as the Apollo 11 re-entry capsule, even though that's quite an iconic object in its own right. And it's in a way typical of Tillemans that he obviously has come around the back of the object and taken it from this unexpected viewpoint, turning it into something kind of weirdly unidentifiable almost as well. He's on one level, not afraid to take photographs of being mobile in the most straightforward way, and of things that could even be considered, you know, too familiar to be able to even make a successful photograph of. You see other photographs in the exhibition where he has photographed things like flowers in a vase or a sunset. For most serious photographers, even serious amateur photographers, these are topics that are on the verge of being just too played out to even attempt. If you're serious about photography, probably one of the last things that you want to try and take a photograph of is two people looking out into a beautiful sunset over the water. It's almost, you know, it's too cliche. And one of the great strands of Tillemans as a photographer and as an artist, I think, is that there is nothing that is off limits for him. Whether it's a very bohemian lifestyle or something that might seem too corny and cliché to be able to make a successful photograph of, he's not afraid of those things at all. Yet at the same time, he'll also often find a completely unexpected angle, and that would include going kind of underneath the Apollo capsule and photographing it kind of up from behind in a way. It makes it into a new kind of object, even though it contains the original material. The same might be said of this large frame photograph over here, where it looks at first glance like you're going down a corridor. It might even be a kind of monochrome abstraction. It's not quite clear exactly what that is until suddenly it snaps together for you. You realize it's shot straight up, and you're looking up the air shaft of a building to the sky, and then suddenly it's all totally clear what that is, even though it's initially a kind of unexpected point of view. Having gone through his astronomical phase, though, Tillemans moved from his native Germany to England, where he went to and studied photography, and he began to photograph his own generation. He has said a number of times to me that he felt that his generation were being portrayed as kind of freaky club kids, the ecstasy generation, people who are just interested in kind of hedonistic lifestyle. wearing goofy clothes, and he's a very serious person, Tillmans, and he felt a dissatisfaction with how his own generation were being represented, and he began to make portraits of his peers and people that he knew, and the predominant photographic style at that point was influenced by photographers like Richard Avedon and even Annie Leibovitz, I suppose, to some extent, who tend to use very dramatic lighting and often photograph their subjects in set-up, bizarre contexts and light them very aggressively from one side or the other, and in other words, make photographic portraits that are highly theatrical. What Tillmans began to do was find a way of making a return in a way to a very straightforward way of working. And from the mid-90s, we can look at this portrait of a friend of his who gets photographed repeatedly, and this is Alex, and you will see many photographs of Alex throughout the exhibition. She's a friend of his, has been a friend of his for many years, he's made a number of portraits of her. And among the things you see in this portrait is that there's very little context. He photographed her basically against a white wall. The lighting of the portrait is extremely even. He basically just bounced the light off the other walls, making it a very evenly lit portrait. You can see a little bit of detail, but it could not be more generic detail about the environment. A kind of half-made bed, white sheets and pillows on it. Again, couldn't be more generic in a way. The only really striking detail is that the belt is unfastened. But on the other hand, I think it's extremely, in a way, difficult to make a strong portrait if you deprive yourself of any of these little anecdotal pegs to hang a portrait on. And he has taken all of these, he's renounced all of those things. But certainly for me, I feel that this is still quite a penetrating and successful portrait. I feel personally that you kind of know what sort of person Alex is and so on. And the more you look, of course, there are beautiful details. You've got this strange gesture of her hand, the hand down here, which he described as really almost a mannerist quality to it. And so it's both a very straightforward, almost snapshot-like portrait, yet at the same time, it's a very intimate portrait. The presence of the bed tells you it's in her bedroom. Obviously, it suggests a certain intimacy. It's a very dignified portrait, too. And one of the things I think you can see in all of Tillman's portraits is this quality of being both very self-confident, very present in themselves. The people he likes to take portrait photographs of are very composed within themselves. They're self-confident people. Yet at the same time, there's a lack of pushing forward. They're not, his favorite portrait subjects are not aggressive people, or they're composed within themselves. They have a certain modesty about them as well as the self-confidence. The two go hand in hand. And that's one of the things that runs through all his portraits. There are two other portraits in the gallery. One is this mid-size portrait of Herman Herman. This shows Tillmans maybe getting out in the world a little bit more. This is he has often taken commissions from magazines. Tillmans is sometimes wrongly described as a fashion photographer who kind of crossed over to the art world. That's not true. He has never done fashion photography in the sense of doing advertising for fashion brands, and you'll actually see very little identifiable brand clothing or anything like that in his work. He does photograph people who are very stylish, and especially early on in his career, the only places that were interested in publishing his work were a category that is maybe more common in Europe than here, not really fashion magazines, but style magazines, where the focus is less on what manufacturer or what brand of clothing is this, but how have people put together a look. It could be with thrift store clothing, and that's an important distinction for Tillmans. But he's continued to accept especially portrait commissions from magazines on a regular basis, and as he says, that's a way of getting himself out of his own world, and if the job seems interesting to him, he will take it. On the tables in there are one or two photographs of Tony Blair, and Blair was doing an interview with a magazine, the leading British gay magazine, and the magazine simply assigned Tillmans as the staff photographer who went there with the interviewer, and he shot Tony Blair at that time. And this is a subject that I think you felt more sympathetically inclined towards. This is Irma Herman, who is a very famous, almost cult following. She has a German actress who appeared in a lot of the films of Fassbinder, and someone that Tillmans very much admired. But you can see that he photographed it in almost the same way as his friend Alex. Extremely simple backdrop, three-quarter length, just standing there. And I think Herman as well has that same quality that I'm trying to identify in Alex, which is someone who's extremely self-confident, not fazed by anything, by being photographed, by standing there, complete confidence, yet at the same time with a sense of modesty and remaining within herself. There's no projection from the subject. And I should just talk briefly about the third portrait in the room. This is in some ways a cross-generational peer of Tillmans. This is the English artist Richard Hamilton, obviously a much older generation than Tillmans, but Tillmans has been in England so long now that he's very much identified as an English artist, as much as a German, maybe more so. He won the Turner Prize, which is given to English artists, or artists working in England, certainly. And Richard Hamilton is probably the most distinguished and respected living artist in England today. I would say that would probably be the consensus. And of course, Tillmans admires his work very much. And last year, he made this portrait of him sitting on the balcony evidently in London. You can see just overexposed and kind of washed out in the background. A little bit of the London context. Of course, the sweeping balcony gives a kind of cradle for Hamilton. Sky completely washed out and pale, almost like a white wall to photograph against. Natural light, extremely direct lighting on Hamilton. No exaggerated pose, simply Hamilton simply sits there patiently to have this portrait taken, and you don't get any sense that Tillmans had said, you know, stand this way or sit another way. And again, I think it's worth reiterating that even these three quite different people, a young woman from a Bohemian milieu that Tillmans grew up in, a well-known actress, or a much older artist peer, are, have a certain continuity of presence in them. And again, I would suggest that Hamilton has the same mixture of qualities that I've indicated in the other two, which is someone who is in no doubt about his own self. He's a supremely self-confident individual. He knows what he's done and in his career, yet at the same time there's no pretension, no pushing himself forward, the same quality of being completely composed within himself. And that's a quality that Tillmans is very interested in finding in all his work. I want to just go on and talk a little bit about three other photographs that are in this gallery, and these are small, smallish photographs of Tillmans' studio. There are two on the wall here, and one all the way over there. You might need to walk around a little bit to see them, but they're important because they can just give a sense of the importance of the work environment for Tillmans. He has a big, beautiful studio in the East End of London, and once or twice a year he clears most of his art out of there and throws a wild party in the space. And there's a kind of genre of, you can see photographs of people partying all the way through the earlier part of the show, but the three pictures here show the studio the day after, the morning after the night before, and obviously they show the detritus of some pretty serious partying that goes on there. But they introduce a kind of double-edged thing into the work. One is an acknowledgement of his working conditions. He's always photographed his own environment, whether it's kind of still life photographs of things sitting on a window ledge outside his studio, or these broader photographs of the scene in the studio after a party. So he's acknowledging that he works in a certain environment. He's also acknowledging that he works in a community. He does an endless number of community-oriented projects. He's always available to take photographs for the gay community in Britain. He's an activist internationally in the fight against HIV, and he traveled to South Africa to take, in the table section, you see a number of photographs of South African HIV educators and activists. So he's a very community-oriented as a person, and his work is always available to the communities that he feels part of. He's done a special edition of the magazine that is published and sold by homeless people in Britain. The list goes on and on. And I think I personally feel these photographs that show, you know, the result of like inviting everyone into his space and inviting them to party are a continuation of the theme of community that runs through his work from the beginning. But there's another element, of course. These also have a slight element of melancholy in them as well, because the party's over. Everyone has gone. This is the detritus of the party. Now he's going to have to clean up and get back to work. So there's that element of it as well. And when Wolfgang was speaking here yesterday, someone asked him if there was a kind of commemorative or memorial aspect to his work. And he said, I guess, really yes and no. I mean, you could also argue that photography in general always contains within it slightly this element of the commemorative or the memorial aspect. But I feel it very much in these photographs of the empty studio after the party. There's the sense that, yes, the party comes, the party moves on, but the artist has to find a way to continue working, you know, out of the wreckage of the party. You still have to go on and work. And I think that leads me, in a way, to the sort of last and, in a way, most recent photographs in the exhibition, which certainly in this room, which are these not just the air shaft, but this very straightforward photograph of a T-shirt. And these photographs have a very abstract quality. They're both clearly what they are, the air shaft of a building, a T-shirt, but they also have this element of the monochrome and the a kind of absolutism that almost takes the work, it begins to suggest a way out of the representational element of photography. And of course that is a route that Tillmans has actually taken, and you can see it very much in these recent abstract works, which are really generated in the darkroom, well, by some secret methods that Tillmans is not keen to reveal. And you see a number of these highly abstract photographs throughout the exhibition. I overheard someone asking him the other day about one of the paintings in the exhibition, and it's a commonly made mistake. Some of these works become so painterly that it's a slip of the tongue that I've heard made quite often. People refer to the works as paintings rather than photographs. And so we not only have this large one, but you see these absolute black monochromes there, and these other darkroom process generated monochrome abstract photographs too. So that the work runs a kind of trajectory from just documenting his own life as a sort of bohemian student in London, all the way through. You see landscapes, still lives, almost every every kind of genre of picture making is dealt with, portraiture, still life, landscape, it's all there, and the final frontier, if I can return to a kind of outer space metaphor, the final frontier, complete abstraction, monochrome abstraction, which is something that, of course, was done in painting much earlier and has been surprisingly rarely attempted in photography. And having kind of taken you on that trajectory through it, though, I want to stress that they all work together. He does not work in series. It's not, or at least not in series that are separated chronologically from each other. The Air Chef picture and the portrait of Alex and the monochrome all work together. He's composed them as an ensemble in this gallery. So he asks you as the viewer to think of them all together as a way of seeing the world in a way. I should also, of course, quickly point out that he's a total materialist about photography. He's very anxious that no matter how striking any particular image is, that you remember that it is a photograph. It's pigment on paper. It's a three-dimensional thing. You can see there's a very beautiful gallery earlier of photographs, curled, folded over, a real emphasis on the photograph as a physical thing and as a physical presence in the world. And you see that very much in the different ways the photographs are presented. Of course, there are large prints that are framed behind plexiglass. There are also inkjet prints that are just clipped to the wall. You'll also see small snapshot, essentially, photographs just taped to the wall. There are mid-format photographs that are also just taped to the wall. There are even things torn from magazines and newspapers presented on tables. All of these things are photography for Tillmans. Yet at the same time, he's very anxious that you not think of them purely as images, strong as many of his images are. He really wants you to think of them as objects. That blurring of the line between the two-dimensionality of photography and the three-dimensional space is something that's not just emphasized through his emphasis on the physicality, the tactile presence of the photographs themselves as objects in the world, but also, if I can return to where I started, by sort of throwing you back to the exhibition itself as a work of art, and the exhibition which is tailored so precisely to the unusual spaces of the Hirshhorn is itself a three-dimensional work of art. And I think almost more than anyone else working today, Tillmans is someone who takes what we think of as the flat medium of photography and really forces it to address it as a three-dimensional thing that we experience in space and moving around through space. To finally conclude with space again at my feet. I'd be happy to try and answer any questions you have about the work.
I love the fact that you've taken us through this and connected with things so often, but so often in museums or exhibit space. The thinking is that there's a body of work that all lines up, that kind of reflects each other, like a line of portraits or mm-hmm. landscape. And is this, I really like his vision, the way he's viewing things. Is this a shift?
No, he's.
Is this a shift in the museum?
Oh, it's a very unusual way for a museum to present photography, and you know, certainly when putting the exhibition together, we had to have a number of conversations with the registrars, you know, these dedicated people whose job it is to keep track of everything and make sure that the conservation issues are addressed and so on. And we really had to have a lot of talks with them, because not only do we ship large framed objects, but you know, to the horror of most people who work in museums, Wolfgang also arrives with some boxes of photographs that are just, you know, maybe 200 more. And you know, that is the kind of thing that it can give a heart attack to a registrar who's trying to keep track of everything. And then he wants to just take them to the wall without any covering. And he also likes the light levels to be much higher than would normally be the case for color photography, which is an inherently fragile, it's getting better all the time. but there's an inherent fragility and vulnerability to light and color photography. So he does a lot of things that do kind of make museum people swallow apart. But if you're going to do a show with Clemens, you have to do it on his terms, the way he wants the work presented. So that's what we've tried to do.
The whole thinking in terms of what makes the body of the work. It's in the past, it just seems so often it's defined as either portraiture or landscape, and it just seems like he's...
Well, he's pushing the boundaries. He did a large exhibition at the Tate in London, which he called If One Thing Matters, Everything Matters, which is, you know, you can debate the truth of that back and forward, but it does offer an indication of how he works. There is nothing that is off limits to him. On the other hand, it would be wrong to think of him as the man with the camera who's just snapping away randomly. He does think very hard and in a very focused way about the issues that he's trying to address in his art. And there's a relatively low number of completely random photographs in there. Usually he knows exactly what he's looking for and what he's going for. But it's certainly a very expansive view of the world. It's one of the things that I think makes him such an interesting artist, because in an era when a lot of artists are very much narrowed down in their range of interests to a kind of niche element, which is something we see very much. And there's one thing that this artist does, and that's what they get in. It's about this way. Tillman's is not like that at all. The whole world is his oyster, and he wants to live large in the world, and he thinks it's all available to him, and he's not afraid of going after everything in the world and every form of representation. And I personally like to see an artist with that level of ambition.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I think you said that his people like different seems to embrace everything in the world too.
For any artist of Tillman's age, growing up in Germany, Richter is a kind of unavoidable figure, and certainly I would say especially in that territory that Richter has mined between photographic forms of representation and abstraction, then it's impossible to say that Tillman's would be unaware of that work. I mean, I think any artist working anywhere in the world is aware of that work now, but certainly someone growing up in Germany at the point where Richter was becoming recognized as one of the leading artists of the world, you could certainly see points of comparison with Richter all the way through this exhibition, I think, as well as with many other artists and many things that have nothing to do with art traditionally defined.
Well, thank you very much. That was terrific.
Well, enjoy the rest.